Along this way,
we have walked with Christ.
Along this way,
we have shared his table.
Along this way,
we have washed our feet.
Along this way,
we approach the cross.
Along this way,
we fear the path.
Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We sing our opening hymn, Love Will Be Our Lenten Calling. Service this afternoon carries on where we left the church last night after the Monday Thursday evening service. On this day we recall the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we hear John's accounts, we focus on seven moments during that day, and as darkness still seeks to conquer the light, pause to reflect on our own sin and that of the world. At the end of each of the readings, we will keep silence as one of the candles that we lit last night is extinguished to mark the prevailing darkness of this day. So as we gather, let us pray. God of the daytime and the nighttime, God of light and darkness, God of joy and sorrow, we worship you. Through you alone we are able to know that even in the darkest hours, hope is present through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Please be seated.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God."
We pray, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Here is the man, Ecce Homo, the Roman prefect said as he offered Jesus to the crowd. No name now for this nuisance man whose silent threat causes such alarm. Yet even the no name, Ecce Homo, has become a title for paintings, sculptures, and verse over the centuries. A no name title becoming his title, and a no-name handing over soon to become his fate. Ecce Homo, the word made flesh.
Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He enters his headquarters again and asks Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you, the power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench, at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to be crucified.
We pray, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Hear Please stand as you are able as we sing our next hymn, There Is a Green Hill Far Away.
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, King of the Jews, but this man said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
We pray, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The article was finished and passed on to the editor for approval. Within a few minutes, the call came. "Are you sure you want to say this?" she asked. "It's what happened," the reporter replied. "Those were the words that were used. But they don't quite reflect our brand, fit in with our readers. Maybe you could say, it seemed, or it appeared that, or she was unclear." But she wasn't. She was very clear about what was said and when it occurred and what it meant and what was meant by it. Very clear. "Okay," the editor responded. "If it goes wrong, I'll take the flak. Let it be as you have written." Pilate, in a moment of bravery, insists on what has been written. No fudging. The King of the Jews, it is. Even in the face of the crowds, sometimes it has to be said as it is. Even when the mood of a crowd threatens, sometimes It needs to be said as it is. Remain seated as we sing our next hymn, The Old Rugged Cross.
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says. "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing did they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did.
We pray, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Mother, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
we pray. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. In a moment, all can change. That moment of fearful angelic promise. That moment of Bethlehem's birth pain and first nursing. That moment of fleeing. That moment of apparent rejection. That moment, so many moments with him. And now this moment, this handing over, as the care given to him from birth to death is now received from him. And in this moment, a new home for him and for me.
After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scriptures, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
We pray. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Finished. So final a word. What is ever really finished? Accomplished? Completed? Except life itself. A race run, a record set, only served to herald the next attempt, a new champion and holder of the prize. But once for all, a death of life, an obscuring of light, bringing darkness in its wake, as a moment of completion is echoed with finality. Finished. The end. Extinguished light. But only until a brighter dawn.
Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because the Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out.
We pray. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Seven moments of the ordinary. Crowds, fear, power, inhumanity made ordinary. And so it continues as those with power quash unrest, break limbs, execute troublemakers, instill fear. as the chilling ordinariness of shoes and spectacles piled high, whilst those who had chosen and brought them, cleaned them and worn them, and nameless numbers in a place of everyday death. No names, each loved by God, but treated as less than human by others who, being loved by God themselves, risk their very humanity. And we pause. And we wonder. In 7 moments of ordinary violence, would we be different? Other days will soon come. The deep, deep sorrow of a garden visit met with a name. A fear-filled room gathering an unexpected visitor. A sad path home becoming a way back to hope. A picnic transformed into a place of restitution. But for now, the candles are extinguished and the darkness prevails.
Let us pray to the Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to give us life. Simon from Cyrene was forced to carry that cross for your Son. Give us grace to lift heavy loads from those we meet and to stand with those condemned to die. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Your Son watched the soldiers gamble to share his clothes. Transform the hearts of those who make a profit from their victims and those whose hearts are hardened by their work. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
The thief who was crucified with Jesus was promised a place in your kingdom. Give pardon and hope, healing and peace to all who look death in the face. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
From the cross, Jesus entrusted Mary, his mother, and John, his disciple, to each other's care. Help us also to care for one another and fill our homes with the spirit of your love. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
The centurion was astonished to recognize your glory in the crucified Messiah. Open the minds of those who do not know you to grasp in your Son the meaning of life and death. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Joseph of Arimathea came to take your Son's body away. Give hope and faith to the dying and bereaved, gentleness to those who minister to them, and courage to those whose faith is secret. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Simon and Joseph, Mary and John, became part of the life of your church in Jerusalem. Bring into your church today a varied company of people to walk with Christ in the way of his passion and to find their salvation in the victory of his cross. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand as you are able as we sing the hymn, My Song is Love Unknown.
Thank you.
After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden of a place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. When hope has left, still we watch and wait. When darkness prevails,
still we search for light.
When the road is hidden,
still we seek the God.
Christ of the cross, hold us in these moments as we wait for a garden vision, a mealtime revelation, a locked room blessing, and a lakeside renewal.